Hare Krishna. So we are reading this morning from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 19, which is entitled The Island of Jambudvipa, text number 2. I think this is prose, so we will probably just read the text and go straight to the purport. I don't think it's recitable, just prose, so we'll just go through it. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. A host of Gandharvas is always engaged in chanting the glories of Lord Ramchandra. That chanting is always extremely auspicious. Hanumanji and Arshtisena, the chief person in Kim Purusha Varsha, constantly hear those glories with complete attention. Hanuman chants the following mantras. Purport. In the Puranas, there are two different opinions concerning Lord Ramchandra. In the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, this is confirmed in the description of the incarnation of Manu. Vasudevadi Rupanam Avataraha Prakirtitaha Vishnu Dharmottare Rama Lakshmanadyaha Kramadami Padmetu Ramo Bhagavan Narayana Itirataha Sheshas Chakram Chashankascha Kramatsyur Lakshmanadayaha Madhyadesha Sthita Yodhya Puresya Vasati Smrita Mahavaikuntha Lokecha Raghave Drasya Kirtita. The Vishnu Dharmottar describes that Lord Ramchandra and his brothers, Lakshmana, Bharat and Shatrughna, are incarnations of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha respectively. The Padma Puran, however, says that Lord Ramchandra is an incarnation of Narayan and that the other three brothers are incarnations of Shesha, Chakra and Shankha. Therefore, Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan has concluded, Tad idam kalpa bhede naiva sambhavyam. In other words, these opinions are not contradictory. In some millenniums, Lord Ramchandra and his brothers appear as incarnations of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. And in other millenniums, they appear as incarnations of Narayana, Shesha, Chakra and Shankar. The residence of Lord Ramchandra on this planet is Ayodhya. Ayodhya city is still existing in the district of Hyderabad, which is situated on the northern side of Uttar Pradesh. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanyamano bhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupakadamaiham dadati swapadantikam mukam karoti vachalam panghum langhayate girim yatkripatamaham vande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Shri Chaitanyaishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Ramaya Rama Bhadraya, Ramachandraya Vedhase, Nathaya Raghunathaya, Sitaya Pataye Namaha Ramaha Rajamani Sada Vijayate Ramam Ramesham Bhaje Ramena Bhihita Nishachara Chamum Ramaya tasmai namaha Ramannasti parayanam parataram Ramasya dasosmyaham Rame chittalaya sada bhavatu me Bho Rama mamuddharah Manojavam marutatulya vegam Jitendriyam buddhimatam varishtham Vatatmajam vanarayutamukhyam Shri Rama dutam sharanam prapadye. Hare Krishna. I'd like to seek the blessings of all the senior Prabhupada disciples present here and all the devotees. Before we can speak a little bit about the personality of Shri Hanumanji, today we are celebrating the most auspicious occasion of Shri Hanuman Jayanti. And the Valmiki Ramayana is a beautiful book describing the wonderful characters, the devotees of Lord Shri Ramchandra, and glorifying the different devotees in connection to the 9 processes of devotional service. So when we talk about the process of Shravanam, then Hanumanji is the example for the process of Shravanam. In fact, it is said, wherever Ram Katha is going on, yatra yatra raghunatha kirtanam, tatra tatra krita mastakanjalim, vashpa vari paripurna lochanam marutim namataha rakshasantakam. Yatra yatra raghunatha kirtanam, wherever there is Raghunath kirtan going on, wherever the glories of Lord Raghunath are being sung, wherever the holy names of Lord Ram are being sung, tatra tatra, there, one will find Hanumanji, krita mastaka anjalim, anjalim with both of his palms folded, krita mastaka, with both his palms folded, touching his mastaka, his forehead, vashpavari paripurna lochanam, lochanam the eyes, Vashpavari paripurnam, the eyes filled with tears, while he's hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord Ram, and while he's hearing the nectarian holy names of Lord Ram being chanted, eyes full of tears, Vashpavari paripurna lochanam. In such an assembly, where Raghunath Kirtan goes on, Hanuman is always present, because that is the benediction he asked from Lord Ramchandra, that wherever the glories of Lord Ram are being sung, I want to be present in such an assembly. So every assembly where there is the glories of the Lord being sung, particularly Ram Katha going on, with no doubts at all, Hanuman is present there. Whether we can see him or not, but Hanuman is present in that assembly where the glories of Lord Ramchandra are being sung. So for the process of Shravanam, Hanumanji is the example. For the process of Kirtanam, Valmiki Muni is the example, because Valmiki Muni recites the Ramayana. Lav and Kush hear that Ramayana and later repeat the same Ramayanam to Lord Ram when he's sitting on the throne. So Shravanam is Hanuman, Kirtanam is Valmiki Muni, and then there is Vishnu Smaranam. The remembrance of Lord Ram is done by Mother Sita. In the Ashok Vatika, when she's kidnapped by Ravana, every single moment she's simply spending in the memory of Lord Sri Ramachandra. So that is Vishnu Smaranam. And then there is, after Vishnu Smaranam, there is Pada Sevanam. And the process of Pada Sevanam is personified by Bharat Maharaj, who puts the Padukas, the sandals of Lord Ram on the throne, serving the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra and ruling on behalf of Lord Ramachandra. After Pada Sevanam comes the process of Vandanam. And the process of Vandanam, the process of Archanam. And the process of Archana is personified by Shabari, where she offers berries and makes offerings of her love. Just as a pujari in the process of Archanam will offer bhoga to the Lord, Shabari offers the berries with great affection, personifying the process of Archanam in the Valmiki Ramayana. And then we find Vandanam. The process of Vandanam is personified by Vibhishan, when he leaves Ravana and comes on the shores of the ocean to take shelter of Lord Ram. He offers incredible prayers to Lord Sri Ramachandra. So Vibhishan signifies the process of Vandanam. The process of Dasyam is personified by Lakshman. For 14 years, without eating, without sleeping, constantly simply thinking of one thing, how to serve Lord Ram. Lakshmanji signifies the process of Dasyam. This process of Sakhyam is personified by Sugriva. How he makes his friendship with Lord Ramchandra and assists Lord Ramchandra in getting Mother Sita back from Sri Lanka, the Lanka of Ravana. And then we find the process of Atma Nivedanam is personified by Jatayu, where he gives his very life up to try and save Mother Sita from the clutches of Ravana. And thus we find in Valmiki Ramayana, each of these nine characters personifying the nine different processes of devotional service. And Hanumanji in particular personifies the process of Shravanam, or the process of hearing the glories of Lord Ramchandra. In the Ramayana it is described that Mother Sita, she gets completely attracted to the deer. This deer is golden in color. It has this beautiful shiny spots in it. And the eyes of the deer are like blue sapphires. Never in the world has such deer been seen. As Mother Sita is standing right next to Sri Ram, her eyes turn towards this deer. And she's so attracted, so completely captivated by that deer. This deer is a Maya Mriga. This deer does not exist in the 8.4 million species created by Lord Brahma. Every species on planet Earth is included in this 8.4 million species except this one deer. Because it's a Maya Mriga, it doesn't exist in reality. It's Maricha who has taken the form of this deer to allure Mother Sita. And therefore, as Mother Sita looks at this deer, she's completely captivated. Completely captivated by the glitter and the glamour of this deer. As in the modern high society, if any of you ever rub shoulders with high society people, you would know. But if you don't, there is a very popular word used called, which is called glitterati. Glitterati. You know, the glitter and the glamour of this material. How many of you walked on Oxford Street? Okay. How many of you looked into the show windows of the Oxford Street? And be very honest, if ever at least once you felt, I think I should buy this. Hare Krishna. You know, things that catch attention. The glitter and the glamour of this material world. So this Maya Mriga, this deer, was so captivating and so attractive that Sita's attention was caught. And Valmiki Muni describes how Sita describes the Maya Mriga. She uses the word Abhiram. She speaks to Lord Ram and says, look at this deer. How beautiful. Abhiram. In front of Ram, she's talking of something being Abhiram. And thus, as soon as Sita gets attracted by that deer, when service to something else or when something else is desired over the service of Lord Ram, Ravan comes. As long as she is serving Lord Ram with great commitment, great faith and great devotion, there is no question of a Ravana. The existence of Ravan in the life of Sita only comes when there is Abhiram above Ram. When the service of Ram is kept aside and now there is a desire for this beautiful golden deer decorated with spots and sapphire-like eyes frolicking around in gay abandon in the forests there at Chitrakoot. As this is happening, you know, I'm sorry, in Dandakaranya, Nasik. Sita, of course Ram goes, the story is long, and Sita is kidnapped by Ravan, the Dashanana Ravan, the ten-headed monster Ravan, and is brought in the middle of the ocean on an island called Lanka and is entrapped. in that Lanka. The Sri Vaishnava Acharyas, particularly of great personality whose name is Vedanta Desikan, in one verse, he has described the condition of Sita and has compared the condition of Mother Sita to the condition of all the souls in this material world. Mother Sita is the Ladini Shakti, but our Acharyas have compared Mother Sita to a Jiva. And comparing her to a Jiva, have described how the sojourn of material existence begins for such a Jiva. And Vedanta Desikan describes, for everyone, Ram is attractive. Like for Sita, Ram is attractive. But as soon as Mother Sita wants something else, above and over the service to Sri Ram, she is entrapped in Lanka by Ravana. Similarly, as soon as the soul, the living entity, the Jiva, wants anything separate, apart from the service to Sri Ramachandra, then Ravan comes. Who is Ravan? The mind. And what are the 10 heads of Ravana? The 10 senses. The 5 working senses and the 5 knowledge acquiring senses. Just as Ravan is Dashanana, there is Dashanana, the 10 senses, the 5 working and the 5 knowledge acquiring senses. And just as Sita is captured by Ravan and brought into Lanka, trapped into Lanka, which is in the middle of the ocean, similarly, we are trapped into this material body, which is compared to Lanka. Just as Sita is entrapped in Lanka, similarly, the soul is entrapped in this material body. Just as Lanka is in the middle of the ocean, similarly, this material body is now entrapped in the middle of this ocean of birth and death. And thus, there's only one principle that takes Sita away from Ram. The principle of wanting the golden deer. Till the time she doesn't want anything for her own enjoyment and wants to serve Lord Ram, the existence of Ravan is not there. Similarly, till the time one simply wants to serve Lord Ram and doesn't want any separate enjoyment for oneself, there's no question of the material mind, there's no question of the material body, and there's no question of the material senses. And thus, a life without Ram is a life of material existence. And I was saying the other day, even a computer doesn't function without RAM, what to speak of life? Even a computer needs RAM to function. And what to speak of life? How would life function without RAM when even a computer doesn't function without RAM? You know? And thus, life is only possible with Ram, and the material energy wants to take our attention away from Ram. You know when you use the sat-nav in England? The sat-nav can keep giving wonderful messages. Our Sundaranand Prabhu was telling me that they went for a funeral. And when they went for a funeral, they had put the postcode for the funeral, the crematorium. And as soon as they reached, the sat-nav said, "You have arrived at your destination." And Sundaranand Prabhu was telling me, I became very reflective, that this is going to be the destination for everyone finally. You have arrived at your destination, the sat-nav says. And if you type into the sat-nav, the postcode for the Bhaktivedanta manor, WD25EZ, isn't it? WD, that's what it is? WD? WD8EZ. WD, whatever. I wrote it down. WD258EZ. When you type this postcode, the satna will bring you right here, and as you enter in, it'll say, "Turn around whenever possible." The satna will say, "Turn around whenever possible." It's quite amazing, you know. And whenever I hear that, I'm only thinking of the material energy. As we come towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the material energy acts like a sat-nav. Turn around whenever possible. We are trying to come to Krishna, and the material energy acting as the GPRS system is telling us, please turn around whenever possible. And constantly there are opportunities to turn around because the golden deers are just frolicking around here and there saying, turn around, look at me. Don't look at Ram at the Bhaktivedanta manor. There is something Abhiram outside there. And outside the association of devotees, there are too many golden deers that are frolicking around, you know. And as soon as the attention goes there, life becomes without Ram and one is entrapped in Lanka, just suffering the miseries of material existence. And at the end of it all, there's only one principle, the false ego. I want to be the enjoyer. As soon as I want to enjoy the deer, I'm away from Ram. As soon as I want to serve, I'm with Ram. That desire to enjoy separately, the false ego, is the cause of all problems and all issues. Many times devotees come and say, Prabhuji, how to improve chanting? And there's so much discussion about it. So much talk about improving chanting. You know? But the essential fundamental principle is this. Many times devotees say the mind is distracted. Have any of you ever experienced the mind being distracted? How many of you have thought about prasadam during chanting? Yeah, thank you. Very nice. On Thursdays, for the cheese toast, you know, as we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and the cheese toast is going inside. Today is Thursday, right? Hare Krishna. Okay, fine. How many of you have had any memories of the past during chanting Hare Krishna? Thank you. How many of you have had any worries of the future? Will I stay in Krishna consciousness? Okay, thank you. How many students here have revised your courses for your university exams during chanting? Revision? Okay, thank you. How many of you give Bhagavatam class and are meant to speak and have not prepared? Prepare the Bhagavatam class during chanting your japa? Hare Krishna. Thank you. Oh Krishna. Japa seems to be a time of so many distractions, isn't it? The mind is just so completely distracted. So completely distracted. And devotees come and keep talking about this. How to focus the mind. Take a mantra card. Good, we must. How to focus the mind. Do this, do that. Hundreds of things are spoken about. And all of them are good. At the same time, there's a crucial, fundamental principle. If we don't work on that, there's no question of good japa. Chanting is not rounds. Chanting is life. If life is in place, rounds are in place. We only talk about chanting as rounds. And this all the discussion only revolves around chanting as rounds. And when the discussion is simply revolving around chanting as rounds, we'll only think about how to improve the rounds. If you're baking an apple pie, if you're baking an apple pie and you start talking about the apple pie is good, the apple pie is nice, the apple pie should be made like this, the apple pie should look like this, we should use this quality of apples. But if we don't have the ingredients to bake the apple pie, how will the apple pie be good? So, chanting rounds is baking the apple pie. But our life is the ingredients that actually is necessary to make the apple pie. Therefore, when we talk about good japa, this is my humble opinion, we have to talk about good life first. A good life of spiritual values. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks about Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, and Kirtaniya Sadahari is a consequent result. Humility, tolerance, and respect are the spiritual values. This is life. And Kirtaniya Sadahari is the consequent result, which is our japa, our taste for the holy name. And thus, unless the three essential principles are in place, where is good japa? Where is good japa? Where is the mind going to focus on the holy name? Where is there going to be the taste for chanting of the holy name? Unless these three fundamental principles are there. Therefore, to me, chanting is life. You know? And rounds follow. Good rounds follow. You see? And when we just go about rounds and talk about rounds and just discuss about rounds, which is good, then we must do that. We must do that. But if the focus is only on that and life is not in congruence with chanting of rounds, then what is the mind occupied by? Not Harinam. The mind is occupied by distractions. The mind is simply occupied by distractions because life is not in congruence with our rounds. When there is a harmony between the two, the chanting of the holy name and life lived by the values that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to give us, then the mind can focus on the holy name. There is no question absolutely of any focus on the holy name unless there is a life based on the spiritual, fundamental spiritual values that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us. And what is the fundamental issue to practice those values? The false ego. Abhirama. That I am the enjoyer. The mind is not this. The mind has no power actually. Devotees keep discussing the mind and the mind is not the culprit. We constantly keep discussing the mind, you know, my mind is disturbed, the mind is creating distractions, my mind is thinking all of this. The mind is not the distraction. We are targeting the wrong entity. Every single day we are thinking how to focus the mind, we are targeting the wrong problem. The fundamental problem needs to be addressed, you know. I always say this, the mind and the intelligence are paid pujaris to the false ego. The mind holds the chamara and the intelligence holds the peacock feather. And both are doing aarti. You know, the mind is waving the chamara and the peacock feather, the intelligence is waving the peacock feather. That's what they are doing. They are helpless. They are absolutely helpless. The issue is not the mind and the intelligence. The issue is the ego, the false ego. Because they're simply serving the false ego. The false ego says something, they do. The mind will have desires for what? To serve the false ego. The intelligence will scheme to do what? To serve the false ego. I'm preparing this talk and giving what? For? Because my mind is saying, serve the false ego. Prepare nicely so everyone feels, wow, what a great talk. And when everyone comes and says, wonderful Prabhuji, you gave a clear answer to our questions. And my false ego says, ah. Oh. Therefore, when I chant japa in the identity that I am a preacher, if I have the identity that I am sitting as a preacher, my mind is distracted not by thoughts of cooking. My mind is distracted by thoughts of how do I prepare for a class and what do I say that people are impressed and say to me, what a great class, Prabhuji. If I sit there in japa as an identity, having the identity that I am a kirtan singer, then I sit there thinking, which melody should I sing? So many times during my japa, I am preparing my melodies. If I sit there as my identity that I am a manager, then constantly what's going on in my mind is, oh, this has to be done. Oh, if I do this, this will work out well. If I do this, this will work out well. If I do this, this will work out well. If I sit there in the identity that I am a mother, then constantly I am thinking of my child. This homework has to be done. This has to be done. If I am sitting in this identity that I am a grihastha, the head of the house, then what's going on in my mind is, how do I pay the bills? How do I pay the taxes? And that identity is the cause of the distraction for the mind. Because the mind is simply going to be filled with those distractions that is our primary identity. It's not going to give us any other distractions. I never get distractions of designing, you know, iPhone. Because I gave up my electrical engineering 20 years back. That's no longer my identity. But ask Tim Cook. Go and ask Tim Cook. Now Steve Jobs is no longer there. So the only thing in the mind of Tim Cook is about how to sort these things out. Ladies and gentlemen, the mind is only filled with those distractions which happens to be the primary identity of the false ego. And those are the things that are constantly just bothering us. Thus we have the mind and the intelligence simply servants, just fanning the false ego constantly. They are not at fault. The fault is that I hold that identity very sacred, that here I am something and I enjoy it. Abhirama. I don't want to serve Ram, but now I have that golden deer which is Abhirama, which is so precious to me, which is what will give so much enjoyment to me. Gross enjoyment, those deers are not big. The deers frolicking inside, the subtle ones, are the ones which are really creating a lot of havoc. And they distract our consciousness away from Shri Ram, just as Sita is taken away from Shri Ram by the mind and the senses and entrapped in this material body called Lanka. I was once resting in my room in the ashram in Chopati. Our ashram is on the third floor, Braj Bihari Prabhu, myself, we all live on the same floor. And we have a terrace which is where I do my exercise, yoga, etc. One night I came from a program at 10 in the night, 10:30, half 10. I came and slept. Slept nice, good, peaceful sleep. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 a.m., suddenly these blaring speakers. In Mumbai, you can only have blaring speakers till 10 o'clock. Post 10, you can't have these sound systems on. And I heard this famous song. And you know how minds are. If you say a verse and you ask the second line, the mind struggles. But I grew up with Bollywood songs. I just grew up with Bollywood songs. So with this Bollywood song, there was a big Bollywood song being played there, Jai Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Darshan Gopni. Sorry. Jai Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokul Anand Ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki, Jai Shrimati Vrinda Devi Tulsi Maharani Ki, Jai. So this Bollywood song was being played there. If some of you know, there was, I can't even forget the song, because the first line, as soon as the first line came, my mind repeated the whole song inside. This song was called Saat Samandar Paar Mein Tere Piche Piche A Gai. I can't forget it. I got up. I tried to sleep after that. I couldn't sleep. So I got up. I chanted my rounds. And then I went up to do exercise. That night, the sound was coming from a terrace which is just next to ours. A rooftop which is next to our building. And there I saw. This is 5:36 in the morning. I've gone up. And there I saw all of these bottles of alcohol, glasses of alcohol, cups of alcohol with half whiskey and vodka and all kinds of stuff lying there. Obviously, last night was a party. That's why even at 2 in the morning, they were having these blaring speakers, dancing and all of that. And then as I'm doing my exercise, my yoga, I see a servant. It was so hilarious. This servant, probably the master in the family and this domestic help, the guy in the family, he gets up. Like 5:45, he's like kind of getting up. He comes and then he saw these bottles of alcohol there. The masters had left half cups. They're drunk and it's all. 5:36 in the morning, this guy started drinking, I'm doing exercise and the sun is rising and I'm seeing right there, this servant is drinking all this alcohol. And then I thought, the master is intoxicated. All that will be left behind is alcohol. And the servant's going to do the same. Imagine the master becomes a Hare Krishna devotee and orders prasad from our temple for the party. What will be left behind is prasad. What will the servants do? Take prasad. The servants have no choice. It's the master who is the boss. The servants are just following and serving the master. And similarly, the mind and the intelligence are the servants who are simply serving an intoxicated master, who's having a non-stop party inside. The intoxicated master of the false ego is having such a great party that he starts drinking that I'm doing. Even a person who's intoxicated thinks actually that I'm doing something. Like an intoxicated man asked the guy, which is more powerful, a cup of milk, two liters of milk or a cup of vodka? So the guy said, a cup of vodka is more powerful than 2 liters of milk. So he said, how? He said, if you drink 2 liters of milk and try to hit the wall, will the wall move? No. You take just one cup of vodka, you don't even hit, the wall will automatically start moving. He said, so seems like one cup of vodka is much more powerful than a whole 2 liters of milk. The intoxicated false ego, is the cause. And thus, as soon as the consciousness changes from being an enjoyer to being a servant, there is no substitute to the service attitude in terms of improving japa. There is no substitute. There is no other solution. Everything else is stopgap things. We do it to pacify the mind. We use all these things and we try and focus our attention. But there is nothing. Nothing that will really target the problem and improve the quality of our chanting and the quality of our connection to Krishna but to change our attitude from being an enjoyer to that of the servant. From Abhirama to Rama. Abhirama is enjoyer consciousness. Rama is service, Krishna consciousness. Sita went by the Abhirama. That's how she was kidnapped by Ravana. And the whole thing was set up to get Sita back to Ayodhya. In fact, our relationships, our services, our japa, our cooperation, everything improves as soon as we try to cultivate the consciousness of being a servant. Why someone insults us, we are hurt? Because the consciousness is Abhirama. In servant consciousness, we don't feel that. In servant consciousness, there is no dissension. In servant consciousness, there is cooperation. You know. And thus, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is the journey. Taking that journey from Abhirama to Rama. Our coming to this material world is like Sita going being taken away to Lanka. From Rama to Abhirama. And Hanuman's job is to bring Sita back to Rama. From Abhirama to Rama. Hanuman Jayanti is the day where we have Hanuman, the emissary of Lord Sri Ramachandra, taking that journey to bring Sita back to Ram. And therefore Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas representing Hanuman are the emissaries of the Supreme Lord. They come to this world to bring the jiva back from Lanka, this material body, to the lotus feet of Sri Ramachandra. And this enjoyment is so ingrained in the material systems because it's not been one day. It's been a lifetime. Anadi karma phale, Prabhupada would quote this very often. Anadi karma phale, padi bhavarna vajale, tori bare na dekhi upaye. Anadi karma. From a long, I don't know how long we'll make it. From a long, and Prabhupada said time immemorial. Time. Padi bhavarna vajale, entrapped in this Lanka. You know, tori bare na dekhi upaye. One cannot see any means of deliverance. And thus, when Sita is taken away, Lord Ram becomes extremely helpless. He starts crying. The same Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is in control, Parameshwar, becomes helpless and starts crying. Going around, where's my Sita? Where's my Sita? In fact, when Hanuman, when he saw Lord Ram crying for Sita, Hanuman's a brahmachari. And sometimes brahmacharis live in their own shells. They don't have the idea of the real world. I mean, let me be frank. Unless they're interacting with the real world, unless they're interacting with families, congregation, grihasthas, unless they live in a community, integrated with the community, they just live in their own nutshells and their own worlds. So they can't see what's happening in the world outside. For them, their only problem is their prasadam timings. Their japa has to get over. They have to really be careful about everything. Their laundry has to be done. You know, they have to, tilak should be proper. No one should steal their clothes. No one should steal their shoes. You know, that's probably their issues. Everyone has their issues. But the fact of the matter is this, that, you know, brahmachari, how much they will know. So Hanuman never had a wife. And if you don't have one, you'll never know what it means to have one. You'll never know what those issues are. You'll never know what those conflicts are. You know, never know what those attachments are. So when Hanuman, he saw Lord Ram crying for Sita, he was wondering, okay man, I mean there are many people whose wives are there, some people's wives die, some go away. Why is he crying so much? Who is this woman for whom my God is crying so much? Why is Lord Ram, who is God, he's my Lord, why is he crying so much? What is it in her that makes him cry so much? And therefore when he arrived in Ashok Vatika, I'm going to take Hanuman on Sunday again. So I'm not really covering Hanuman in detail. I'm only explaining Hanuman Tattva today. And on Sunday I will actually explain the whole journey of Hanuman and the pastimes of Hanuman. And the lessons learned from there. Because it's such an exhaustive topic that the time that we have doesn't even allow us to get into the details of the life of Hanuman. So I am just covering the tattva of Shri Hanuman. You know. So when he reached Ashoka Vatika in Lanka, and his first darshan of Mother Sita, Valmiki Muni describes in great detail, when Hanuman saw Mother Sita, that is for the first time he felt. He said, any person who would have such a lady as his wife would not just cry, would die if this wife would be taken away from him. And he said, it is the greatness of my Lord that he is even surviving. It's the greatness of Lord Ram that he's even surviving in a separation from him. No man would even be able to live without such a great personality as Sita by her side. You know? And thus we find Lord Ram crying helplessly. I mean, this is a description in Valmiki Ramayana. You know, Valmiki Ramayana has this Karun Ras. Lot of crying going on there. Lot of crying going on there. Lord Ram just breaks down. Suddenly when he comes to that Parnakutir, where Sita was kidnapped, and just breaks down and cries. And for the first time, Lakshman takes a lead role and starts pacifying Lord Ram. But so Supreme Lord becomes helpless in finding Mother Sita. And that is why he needs help. God needs help. You know why he needs help? Because he can never force any living entity to come back. He wants to know whether Sita wants to come back. Is Sita gone? Does she really want to come back to me? I can't force her, so I won't go. If I go there, it's force. Krishna never interferes in the free will of a living entity. Never forces. Therefore, he is helpless. He is a supreme controller. But only we can help Krishna by saying, I want to surrender. Then he is there to help. Therefore, they say God helps them, those who help themselves. In only one area, the supreme controller is helpless in changing the living entity. Because unless the living entity desires to change, Krishna just says, well, till the time you say, I won't interfere. He has given us this free will. And therefore, he is helpless, wanting help. And whose help does he take? He takes the help of Vanaras. And what is the meaning of Vanara? In Sanskrit, va means or. And va nara. Nara means human being. So vanara means, is this a human being? Or nara va. If you just turn vanara into just opposite, nara va. Nara va. Is it human or monkey? Because this doesn't look like a monkey. Monkeys don't talk. Monkeys don't act like this. In fact, monkeys resemble human beings a lot. And therefore, the word vanara is used for them. Because they resemble human beings so much. They have such intelligence close to that of human beings. They can even stand like human beings. They walk sometimes like human beings. They're close, very close. Therefore, the Darwin's theory of evolution took that as a model for evolution. Whether that was right, wrong, of course it wasn't right. Of course it wasn't right. And my favorite one is, you know, this little girl comes and tells her father, Papa, Papa, where do we come from? And the father said, daughter, we come from God. Then the little girl went to the mother and said, Mama, where do we come from? Father said, darling, we come from a monkey. Mama, where do we come from? We come from God. So the girl got confused. Dad says we come from a monkey. You say we come from God. Whom do we actually come from? The mother said, his side comes from monkey, my side comes from God. You know, dad's side is from monkey, my side is from God. But Darwin took this model because it's closest to a human being, right? How do you make evolution? Closest to a human being, isn't it? Vanara. Look at the interesting word by Valmiki Muni. Vanara. Close to, is it human being or a monkey? Srila Prabhupada was sitting in Vrindavan. Shuddha Kirti Prabhu was serving him. And, you know, the monkey took one of Prabhupada's sandals away. And he was chewing and biting on it. And then Shuddha Kirti Prabhu was trying to shoo the monkey. And the monkey wouldn't go. And Prabhupada said, wait, that is not how you do it. And then Prabhupada said, for him it's ordinary, for you it's mystic power. And then Prabhupada told Shrutakirti Prabhu, mystic power means something that you cannot do. That's mystic power for you. You're not able to do something someone else can. That's mystic power for you. I know this magician called Simon something from Germany. I mean, that man, I must tell you, he's an iPad magician. He does all his magic on iPad. He'll click your picture with you, selfie like this. On an iPad, he'll take a picture like this. And right in front of you, on the iPad, he'll just flick the picture like this. And a printout, a photo print comes out of the iPad. I don't know how he does it. I'm completely fascinated. To me, that's mystic power. Because I can't do it. Prabhupada said, that is mystic power. And then Prabhupada said, wait, this is not how you do it. Let me show you. Then Prabhupada came with a banana. And he stood in front of the monkey. And said, take. He's showing the banana. And the monkey is coming closer. Prabhupada is holding this banana and the monkey is coming closer. And as he comes closer, then, you know how monkeys are? They're very smart. In Vrindavan particularly, they're so smart. They're coming closer. And the monkey came, holding the shoe in one hand. And Prabhupada's so smart, you know. Prabhupada's so clever. He's waiting. So Prabhupada's also holding one hand for the shoe. And the other hand is the banana. But somehow or the other, this monkey, and then finally the monkey came close, grabbed the banana and ran away with the shoe. And then Prabhupada said, just see, so smart. He's taken the shoe away and he's taken the banana. And then the monkey, Krishna, he just started biting. Biting deliberately on the shoe. Bit and then threw it on the ground. And then Prabhupada looked at it. And Prabhupada said, not so bad. We can continue using it still. And then Shrutakirti Prabhu said, no, Prabhupada, we should get a new pair. This is bitten by a monkey. Vanara, very close to a human being. I remember we went to this trek in near Nasik. It's called Brahmagiri. And the monkeys there are even smarter. I'll tell you, you go try it out. We went there and one of our professors in a college in Rajasthan, he's a professor, engineering professor, and he came there. And there's a narrow, chock-a-blocked way there, a very small, narrow lane. And he's walking there. The monkey came there and pulled his wallet out. And checked what is inside the wallet. Didn't find anything. He slapped this guy and left. Can you believe this? The name of this professor is Professor Shankar Godwal. I'm even telling you the name. Slapped him on the face and left. And then another devotee was going. He came and he sat on his shoulders. And this whole long trek. And this guy was like freezing there, you know. And the local people said, you keep walking, he's not going to get down. So he's trekking with the monkey on his shoulders. And as soon as we reached the top, he came down and ran. He just wanted a free ride. Such smart monkeys. Therefore, va-nara means whether a nara or a human being. They resemble a human being so much, there's a confusion. Nara? Va, whether he's a human being or not. Lord Ram took help of these vanaras. And the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas say, Vaishnavas are also called vanaras. Monkeys resemble human beings. Vanara. Vaishnavas are also called Vanara. Is he a human being? Vanara? Or a pure soul from the spiritual world? Who is he? He looks like a human being, embodied in flesh and blood. Prabhupada looked like that. Was he a human being? He came like that. But he was from the spiritual world, an empowered Shaktyavesh incarnation, an empowered personality who came here. Vanara. Lord Ram depends on Vanaras to revive Mother Sita. He depends on the army of the Vaishnavas to reclaim the souls in this material world who have been captivated by the golden deer, Abhirama. And thus, just like Lord Ram relied on the army of the Vanaras, Lord Ram in today's world relies on the army of the Vanaras, the Vaishnavas, in order to get them back. Vaishnavas are no longer just ordinary human beings. And thus, we shouldn't see them so. Whatever may have been a fault in them, the Nectar of Instruction explains, Bud Bud Phena Pankai, there will be some conditioned side left. Srila Prabhupada said, when you turn the fan off, the fan will go around for a while. The momentum will be there till it stops, comes to a complete halt. So we have stopped the power supply to the fan at least. And the momentum of our conditioned nature may overwhelm us. We can never judge a Vaishnava by that. Jagattarini Devi. She joined Srila Prabhupada, you know. Such an amazing devotee. I probably will speak about her if the context comes later on Sunday. But such an amazing devotee, her dedication, her commitment, her surrender to Srila Prabhupada, and all of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, their surrender. Incredible how Prabhupada transformed their lives completely and made them vanar. Sorry. Vanar here doesn't refer to a monkey now. Vanar here represents a transcendental personality, and Prabhupada created a Vanar Sena. ISKCON is a Vanar Sena of those Vaishnavas who seemingly look just like other human beings now and may even have the conditioned side to them, but have the potency to go and rescue Sita on behalf of Lord Sri Ramachandra, just as the Vanaras did so, you know. And thus, Jagattarini Devi, when she joined the temple, her mother was very upset that she was a very famous actress, cinema actress. And the newspaper's articles read, the headlines, weird sect forces movie actress to marry Japanese monk. She married Bhurijan Prabhu, who was in Japan at that time. Weird sect forces a movie actress to marry a Japanese monk. And then Prabhupada saw the picture. On one side, Jagattarini Devi as a movie actress. On the other side, Jagattarini Devi as a devotee, cleansing pots in the kitchen. And then Prabhupada looked at it and said, look at this picture. She looks so morose. And here, she looks so happy. And then she turned to Jagattarini Devi and said to her, you have given so many lives to all this. Now just give this one life to Krishna. Just give this one life. He told Jagattarini Devi, just give this one life to Krishna. You know, transformed individuals. One devotee recently was sharing that he had gone to Srirangam, and in Srirangam, one Russian devotee was there. And this Russian devotee wanted to find out the deities of Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra, which were worshipped by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are just opposite the house of Venkatabhatta, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed for the 4 months of the rainy season. And he was not able to find it. So this Hare Krishna devotee moving around just spotted this Russian devotee, and the Russian devotee just asked him, because he saw the Vaishnava Gaudiya Tilak, do you know? He said, yeah, let's go. So he took them. And as they were sitting there, he was appreciating this Russian devotee. And he said, please, don't speak about me. If you have to glorify someone, glorify Srila Prabhupada. He said, what happened? He said, I was a butcher in Russia. I was a butcher working in a slaughterhouse, cutting the throats of animals every day. And he said, my clothes would be stained with blood every single day with the blood of killing animals. And he said, one day, after cutting all these animals with my blood-stained clothes, I just came sat, and suddenly, I found one page just lying there. I picked up the page, and I read it. It was so interesting. It caught my attention so much that I got back and I started speaking to my colleagues around, and I said, hey, it's very interesting. I said, oh, this book, this is an English book. And most of us don't understand English. So these Asian people were here on the streets of Moscow. They were chanting, dancing, and they were giving out these books. And we had gotten this book, so we didn't understand. We are not allowed to know English. They're speaking in Russian. So we tore it and threw it. This was the only guy who understood some English. This man, he said, this one page was from The Science of Self-Realization by Srila Prabhupada. That one page, he said, I want more of these books. Where are these people? He went on the streets of Moscow to look for these people, purchased books, read them, gave up his work as a butcher, convinced two of his other friends, two other couples, and three of these families became completely surrendered Hare Krishna devotees. And then this devotee, Russian devotee, was saying, if by reading one page of Srila Prabhupada, if this is the transformation, you can imagine if we regularly keep reading Srila Prabhupada's books and his purports, what kind of transformation will come in our lives and how our journey will move from Abhirama to Rama, you know. And thus Srila Prabhupada, such a transcendental personality, and how does he save the message? How to reclaim the jivas back? Message, transcendental knowledge, you know, transcendental knowledge. is the only way to claim the jivas back. And transcendental knowledge is represented by the monkey king, Sugriva. You know what is the meaning of Griva? Throat, neck. Mani Griva, Nalakuvar, Mani Griva, Hayagriva. Hayagriva means the horse-headed incarnation. Sugriva, one who has a very nice neck. Sugriva. And Sugriva means throat. Knowledge is given through the medium of sound. Sugriva is the son of the sun god Vivaswan. And I will be telling the story on Sunday. It's a very interesting story. I mean, if you hear that story, such a powerful story of how he was born as the son of the sun god. The sun god signifies knowledge. Imam Vivaswate Yogam Proktahan Aham Avyayam. Vivaswan gives knowledge first. And the sun god moves on a chariot. And he has 6 million sages sitting on the chariot. And the 6 million sages are constantly reciting the Rig Veda, the Yajur Veda, the Atharva Veda, and the Sama Veda. As the sun is orbiting, the 6 million sages are constantly reciting the 4 Vedas. And therefore the sun signifies jnana or knowledge. And the son of the sun god is Sugriva. And throat is where sound comes from. Knowledge means sound. Sound comes from the throat. And there are 4 kinds of sound. 4 varieties of sound, according to the Vedic literatures. You know, 4 kinds of sounds. One is called para. The next is called pashyanti. The third is called madhyama. And the 4th is called vaikhari. Para is transcendental sound. Pashyanti is the sound that comes from the nabhi or the navel. How many of you have learnt how to sing from here or speak from the navel? If you don't, your throat will get spoiled. When you sing, you have to sing from here. Sound comes from here, the nabhi. This is the source of sound. When singers practice, it's called riyaz. Muhammad Rafi was one of the masters in Bollywood singing. And one of our devotees, Shibad uncle, Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj's uncle, his name was Mr. Shibad. He was also into a lot of singing and music. My God, his music sense was like really powerful. He composed more than 4,000 Hare Krishna melodies. Incredible. In variety of ragas. And he would, when he was a child, he used to live around the house where Muhammad Rafi, this popular Bollywood singer, used to stay. And when Shibad uncle as a child would pass by this house, every morning at 4, when he would just pass, he would hear this. You have to hold the lowest key on the harmonium. And as you can go to the lowest key, I want to do it, but I don't have time. There's a time for our morning program. Only in the morning that riyaz is the greatest. You go to the lowest key and practice. That's how the sound called pashyanti from the nabhi comes. One who practices this can have the range from the lowest note in music to the highest note in music. Vyasaki Prabhu is a great example, going from the lowest to the highest. Every morning. Yeah, from here, right? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare, Hare. Tomorrow morning we are going to have Pashyanti Japa. Everyone's going to chant. No one's going to hear anyone. Otherwise the pick is, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Ram, Hare, Ram, 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 Hare Krishna. Everyone's chanting loudly. So that's called Pashyanti from the Nabhi. The third sound is called Madhyama, which is in the heart. Sound comes here. And the last is called Vaikhari, which is actually on the tongue and the throat. Sounds, words come, we see sound which is manifested. This is the sound you know. Vaikhari sound is what we know. We don't see the 3 unmanifested forms of sound, which is in the neck, throat or the heart, madhyama, pashyanti in the nabhi and para, which is transcendental sound. The manifested sound is Vaikhari. So Sugriva, Sugriva, the one with the throat, represents that Vaikhari. The transcendental knowledge. The tattva of Guru is represented by Sugriva. You know, not the Sugriva who forgot his responsibilities. Not the Sugriva who was enjoying sense gratification. The tattva of knowledge is represented by the Acharya. And that sound has to be carried. Someone has to take that sound to bring Sita back. Someone has to go and bring that Sita back. Sugriva doesn't have, Sugriva is not going to go. Someone has to go. The Vanar Sena will go. Sugriva will join them. The Vanar Sena will go to rescue Sita back. And will be headed by one personality who first took the journey to go. Therefore, when we make sound, sound is transmitted through. Sound is transmitted through air, Vayu. And the son of Vayu, Hanuman, Vayu Suno, Maruti, is the one who will take that sound across. He was the one who crossed the ocean and went to rescue Mother Sita, went to find the whereabouts of Mother Sita and bring that news to Lord Ramchandra. And therefore Vedanta Desikan, Sri Vaishnava Acharya, he explains this whole analogy of Sita being kidnapped by Ravana and how the Acharyas help Sri Ramachandra. Lord Ram needs help here. Why does he need help? Because people, he doesn't interfere in the free will of any living entity. He wants to know whether this living entity wants to come back. So Hanuman goes to find out whether Sita still wants to come back. She wants to? He comes back to Ram and says she wants to. As soon as he comes and tells Ram he wants to, Ram starts the whole expedition to Lanka along with his Vanar Sena for the deliverance of Mother Sita. So as soon as we express to the Acharya, to the Guru, who is Hanuman, the Guru Tattva, that Ram, that Mudrika, the ring that Ram gives, and he gives that to Sita, is the process of initiation, giving Ram Naam. Just as Hanuman came and gave that ring to Sita, so similarly the Guru initiates the disciple and makes that connection to the disciple. And now that the willingness of the disciple is there, yes, I want to get back from Abhirama to Rama. Then Guru acts as Hanuman to bring us back to the lotus feet of Lord Ram. And Ram says, now that he's willing, I am there with you, Hanuman. And then Hanuman, Ram, and the collaboration of the entire Vanar Sena goes to rescue Sita out of Ashoka Vatika. Similarly, the Acharya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the whole parampara is with us. Beginning from the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, the whole parampara, all the incarnations, everyone up there in the Paravyoma, the spiritual world is just wanting to rescue us from this Lanka, the material body. All we have to do is make that desire, I want to come back. As soon as that desire is there, all the help is provided. And that is the beauty of Srila Prabhupada's purports and his books, that all that help is there for us. And that is Hanumanji's tattva, knowledge, spiritual knowledge, transcendental knowledge, which is carried to all of us to rescue us from this material mire. Today also is the appearance day of Srimati Vrinda Devi. 12th anniversary of Srimati Vrinda Devi. 12 years back she was installed here at the Bhaktivedanta Manor. And Vrinda Devi is the Adhishtatri Devi of the Vrindavan forest. Serves Shri Shri Radha Krishna in their most amazing pastimes, wears a blue attire, is golden in complexion, like Srimati Radharani. And she is a personification of Srimati Radharani's, Krishna's Leela Shakti. And has these two female parrots. And along with these two female parrots, she arranges for the most amazing pastimes of Shishi Radha and Krishna, the Jugal Murtis in Shri Vrindavan Dham. And therefore Bhaktivedanta Manor is a dham made by Srila Prabhupada and has created a beautiful Vrindavan here, Shishi Radha Gokulananda. And the coming of Srimati Vrinda Devi 12 years back all the more means that the wonderful pastimes of Shishi Radha and Krishna in the way of transforming the lives of many of the fallen souls of London is happening again and again here in this beautiful place, Shri Bhaktivedanta Manor Dham. So, on this most auspicious day of Shri Hanuman Jayanti, our prayer is this. Only one prayer really. To cultivate a strong desire that I want to come back. I want to change from Abhirama to Rama. I want to change my false ego to true ego. From enjoyment through servitude, and then automatically the mind and the intelligence will all be there. Because once the master is there, the servants just follow suit. So as soon as we make that prayer, Hanumanji is there to help us. And the whole Vanar Sena is there to help us, of Vaishnavas. to go back to the spiritual world, back home, back to Godhead. Wish to thank all of you very much for your kind attention. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Hanuman Ji ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samavet Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.